Welcome, friends. We are thinking about the biblical story and what that says about our sexuality, our marriage, singleness, how we understand these different dimensions of who we are. And in this unit, we're thinking about the story of sin and how sin affects us. In the last video, we talked about the vice of lust and how lust, in effect, puts us in our own prison. And so in this video, I want to talk a little bit about what's the solution for the vice of lust. And to do this, we have to think about what's a solution to sin in general, but particularly to this struggle. One thing I really want to highlight here is that we have to understand that the Christian faith is not behavior modification, but heart transformation. If we try to modify our behavior, someone else's behavior, without real heart transformation, either A, it's not going to really take, or B, we're going to have people who maybe can follow the rules really well, or who learn to kind of put on appearances, but who don't genuinely know Jesus. And so at the heart of the solution for sin is coming to know who Jesus is, of recognizing of His great love for us, that He died for us, and that He lives again to empower us into a new way of life. And so the solution for sin ultimately is conversion, is faith and repentance, of trusting who Jesus is and repenting. And repenting has this idea of a turning, because our hearts have actually been changed. We turn and we go a different direction. Now, I want to make clear here then that when we think about our struggles with sexual sin, when we think about our struggle with lust, that what we're saying here is not that you have to repress your sexuality, not that you have to ignore your sexuality, but rather that actually those parts of us that are sinful have to be laid at the cross, have to be laid at the feet of Jesus. So it's not repression, but crucifixion that has to happen, that we actually give those parts of ourselves over to Him so that those can be crucified with Him. And again, this is why it's heart transformation. It can't be just behavior modification. It can't just be repress that down and try to do something different. It has to be something that flows from recognizing Jesus' love for me that then transforms my life as I interact and grow with Him. This also, I think, shows us the ongoing need for the gospel. That even as a Christian, this doesn't mean I heard the gospel once, I had this conversion experience, I turned, I repented, now I'm heading a different direction, and I never have to repent again. What I need every single day is to have the gospel preached to me, to recognize that on my own, I am good, but fallen. I am somebody who's created in the image of God, but I am somebody who is rebellious against God and trying to establish myself, and that in the midst of that, Jesus pours Himself out for me. Jesus gives Himself totally to me. And it's that understanding, it's that rootedness in the gospel that then empowers me to look at my own life and say, are there dimensions of my life that I need to hand over to Jesus? What here flows out of my own sinfulness, flows out of my own selfishness? And what needs to, again, this day, be put to death? And how can I live and walk in the newness of life? Now, I want to be really clear here that in this path of sanctification, and sanctification is really just a fancy word for spiritual growth, sanctification is not my work. It's not that Jesus saves me through faith and now I need to work hard. It's that day in and day out, I need the empowering work of the Holy Spirit to help me to embody in my marriage what the love of Jesus actually looks like. So that I am not just trying to do this on my own. I'm not just trying to pull myself up by my spiritual bootstraps, so to speak, but that I am living a life more and more of surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's when I do that that the fruit of the Spirit is going to be developed in me. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. What's important to see is that I develop these fruit not just for myself, but that really the Spirit works in me to bring these to fruition for the benefit of others. That it's not a, again, it's not a self-focused thing, but it's a being linked to the Spirit so that my life can overflow and make a difference in the life of others. I also grow through what some theologians talk about as means of grace. By means of grace, we mean, where are opportunities for me to receive God's grace being poured into my life in new and helpful ways? So one common way that we receive grace from God, I think on a weekly basis, is gathering around the Word, hearing the Word preached, hearing the Word taught. It's participating in baptism and communion, of being united with Jesus more and more through that. It could be through other ways, pathways of discipleship and connection and growth with fellow believers where I get together for a Bible study once a week with brothers in Christ, and that time is incredibly important in my own life in terms of receiving God's grace as His Spirit empowers me. And so as we do this, I hope what you're seeing here is that really this is gospel sexuality. This is not about, let me come up with a list of do's and don'ts and try really hard to keep to that. It is understanding who Jesus is, understanding what Scripture teaches, and then walking in that way by the power of the Spirit. So what happens as I become transformed more and more each day by the Spirit? In contrast to lust, the way that we talk about this in a positive way is chastity. This is a term, again, this is might be a more obscure philosophical term, or a term that maybe is not used all that much. Or maybe I've heard some people actually use this instead of celibacy. Celibacy meaning singleness, not having sex, because you're a single person. But chastity is a little bit different. Chastity is coming to understand the integrity of the person, body and soul, that those go together, that I see myself as this embodied whole, and I see others in the same way. And so there's this recognition that who I am, I can't just treat my body, treat my sexuality as something to be divorced off from the rest of who I am. But I see myself as a whole, and I see others as a whole, so that I don't lust after, I don't abuse them by seeing them as just a means to an end. Now, chastity involves an apprenticeship in self-mastery. And again, what this means is that day in and day out, I come to have a better vision to see who God is. I come to have a better vision to see other people so that I don't treat them as people to be used. And doing this, coming to have this self-control, not just in terms of my sexual life, but in my thoughts and how I see people and how I understand the world around me, that coming to have this self-control is actually training in real freedom. That if I think about a biblical view of freedom, it's not really things out there that are obstacles to my freedom, but it's actually my own sinful desires that are imprisoning me. And so as I come to have more and more self-control to see people as God sees them, to understand the world around me in the way that God does, the more I'm actually free to be fully human. And so from this perspective, real liberation, real freedom, doesn't mean the ability to do just whatever I want. Real freedom means learning to see myself and learning to see others in the way that God sees them and to live into that more and more. I'm not going to lie. Chastity is a long and difficult work. And so if you're thinking, man, this sounds great, but if you just knew the struggles I have or the difficulty that I've walked through in my own life, maybe I'm walking through right now, just feel like it's a place of brokenness and I don't get this. I feel myself falling more and more into lust rather than chastity. I just want to affirm, this is not easy. Surrendering to the Spirit day by day, learning and growing, to walking in Him, is not something that you just snap your fingers and everything's better forever. I wish it was. It would maybe be easier if it was. But what we're saying here is there is this sense of dependence on the Holy Spirit, that as we do this day in and day out, it is a discipline. It is work. It does take this effort of surrender and striving to live and to see things the way that God does. And so be encouraged if you feel like it is difficult, because it is. But don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't lose heart when you're thinking about yourself or others and maybe saying, I wish it was different. I wish things were better. Keep taking one step at a time. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. But we also recognize that this is a cultural effort. And what I mean by that is, this is not just something that I'm called to do alone, but it's something I'm called to do in community. It's something that, you know, if I'm surrounded by a culture, like much of North American culture, that does look at people as just objects to be used, then it is going to be more difficult, because I'm going against that cultural stream. I'm living a way of life that is countercultural. But it's also important to recognize that within our church communities, it's important to cultivate a culture that looks at people as God does, that understands the goodness of bodies, the goodness of sex, the goodness of marriage, but also understands the way that we sinful human beings take those good things and often warp them to make them about us. And so we want to create a culture in our own communities that values people, that understands God's vision for marriage, for sexuality, for singleness, and what that means. And so in the next unit, we're going to think about very specifically, what does this look like in marriage, and what does this look like in singleness, as we, as the people of God, seek to embody this story so that others can get a glimpse of God's love, God's faithfulness, God's care for us, embodied in Jesus. So until next time, blessings.